Word Church. If we can come back to our seats, I just have one more announcement that, and I want to make sure that I have everybody's attention, and I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying today, okay? So, John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And with that, I ask, what is recovery? Is it a lifeline for addicts? Is it a program? Principles? Steps? Is recovery a change in behavior? A new set of people, places, and things? Is recovery a better life? A healthier life? A life free of bitterness, fear, and self-doubt? Is recovery a pathway to healing, forgiveness, a source of rest and peace in an uncontrollable world? Does recovery happen in the rooms? Does it happen in those nervous first confessions? Those desperate midnight texts? Does it happen in shared hurts and shared hopes? Or in the testimony of the unashamed? Is that recovery? Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe none of that is recovery. No more than the rustling of the leaves is the wind. No more than the soaked ground is the rain. Or the warm sand beneath your feet is the sun. Maybe all those things we've experienced is not recovery at all, but the evidence that recovery has already happened, already started, already finished. Maybe recovery begins and ends here at the altar. What if recovery is the altar of surrender, the mercy seat, the letting go? What if recovery begins and ends right here? We believe that recovery is allowing God to alter you, to change you, to grow you, to give you hope and a future. Recovery is not just for the alcoholic or the addict. Recovery is for anyone who has hang-ups, habits, or hurts. Starting January 8th, we are starting a recovery Bible study here at the church. If anything I said today resonates with you and you are willing to commit to a 16-week Bible study on Thursday, then please sign up in the foyer. This is just the beginning, but I know that God has something for us, and this recovery is for everyone. And with that, I would like to introduce my friend Kim to come up and tell you a little bit about herself and what God has done for her.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kim. I'm supposed to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now today. I'm a little nervous, so catch my breath. There's nothing to be nervous about because it's just my testimony. But it took me 48 years to come to realize that God, Jesus, loves me. It's all good. And I still fight that. I still fight that. When I have those evil thoughts that my grandma implanted in me, punishing God, I'm sorry, I'm starting off a little. Those evil thoughts come in my mind that that I did something so wrong that he's punishing me. And today I don't feel that. I tell myself, no, I cannot do there. I cannot go there. I'm going to tell you a little bit what happened. I started drinking at the babysitting us, and she, you know, turned me on to alcohol and pot and all that, and she babysitted us, so yeah, it was all good. We thought it was all good. So that was my first time ever trying anything. It was alcohol and pot. Not gonna go too much into that, you know, because it kind of saved me during that time, because when I was 18 years, first of all, let me go back a little bit. 1990, I had a brother. He was 15 years old, and he died of brain cancer. 1992, my mom, dad, and older brother died of a drunk driving accident. I had lost so many, and I felt so abandoned, and I felt God was punishing me, because that's what I was taught. My grandma taught me that. I had a punishing God, and whatever I did, it was my fault. That's why they're not here today. And I thought that for so long. And it wasn't until, I'm jumping a bit. I was in and out of the rooms, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, NA, in and out for like the last 30 years. Today, I can honestly say I got 2.5 years. And thank you very much. And something happened a year into my recovery. Somebody came into my life. It was a God thing. I don't know what this. I gotta call it a God. It's a God shot. I call them God shots, you know. So somebody came into my life, and I wanted to get to know her a little bit better, because I never was a friend, you know. I never understood any of that, you know. Was never taught that, you know. So up until the age of 49 years old, I am 52, mind you. But at 49 years old, Sandra came into my life, which is Jordan's mom. And I wanted to hook up, you know, with her. You know, she had some good things, you know, say in AA and stuff. And then Michelle started coming around too, but I was having a garage sale. And this is another God shot. You know, you can't deny this stuff, you know. Tanya came over to the house for the garage sale, and an hour before she got there, Brad showed up at my garage sale. And Brad gave me a card to come here. Yeah. And so when Sonia came back, you know, came an hour later, I was telling her, and I showed her the card that Brad gave me. He's at my church. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this not a God shot? This is like, okay, I got to go to this church. I have to. And so I did. I started coming. And I started to get to know you guys. And I started thinking, God's not punishing no more. That went away. And I got baptized here 1.5 years ago. My life has changed dramatically since I have invited Christ into me, you know, into my heart and into my mind. Jordan, she's a blessing. I can't say enough about her, because me, as I'm thinking I'm all that, and then some, I wouldn't take advice from somebody younger than me. And today I do. I love her Bible study that we have together, so beautiful. But when I got baptized, I was going through some things, you know. So I was out there. I almost left this church. I started going out to different churches for like 1.5 to 2 months. Or about 3 months, I started doing that. And I couldn't get this. This is my church. This is me. This is my church. I tried to get you guys out, you know, but God, no. No, God wasn't having that today, you know. He wanted me to enjoy this life. Yes. you know, that I have never known to come to enjoy, to, you know. I might not have all the money, I might not have all the answers, but I know my life is so much better today because I invited Jesus and God. That's always being good, always. And that's, I can't deny that, you know, and he's shown me so much more with you guys. You guys are my family now. And I invite you in, you know, and at first you guys kind of scared me, but I'm okay now. I didn't like the music going on for so long, but oh my gosh, I love it now. See what a change has done. You know, I tried to get out of here for 3 months, you know, and I come back, and it's all been good. And I have all these people to thank. Sonia, I got Brad, I got Jordan, I got every, you know, all you guys have some kind of part in my life today. And I just hope it gets more. You know, I want to feed on it more. So join with me in worship, praise with the music, right? I say that. I don't know. Thank you.
The law that if you steal two lambs, you got to give it back with upgrades. You take one, you restore it back with four. And that's exactly how our Lord wants to work today. That whatever the enemy took from you, God wants to give it back to you, but with upgrades. Are you ready for an upgrade in the Spirit of the Lord? Are you ready for God to heal your mind? Are you ready for God to touch your heart? We have worshiped, we have praised the Lord. And now it's time for the Word of God. Amen. Are you ready for the preached word of God? I believe that we are in the right time and at the right place. And restoration is in the house. So would you, if you expect God to do something for you, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Brother Emmerich, come and preach.
Come on, I wonder if we can just keep that going. Come on, it's already been said, but whatever you need. Come on, I wonder if you can just lift your voice. Come on, I know the music is gone and the lyrics aren't behind me, but I wonder if you can just lift your voice from the very depths of your soul unto the one true King. I wonder if you can just magnify the name of the Lord. Come on, whatever you want to say, I wonder if you can just praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the place for a little bit longer. Come on, he's holy. He's worthy. Amen, amen. It feels so good in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. What an honor it is to be with you and to be with Pastor and Sister Clutter. I just had the privilege of meeting him a little bit ago, and I honor you. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come and minister. How many of you love your pastor and pastor's wife? Amen. Like I said, I don't know them well, but I can tell that they love the Lord. They love you. I feel such a burden for this church today. I don't know. I know what's going to happen. The Lord is going to do some great stuff today, but it's such an honor to be with you. I apologize. My wife and children could not be here. We just made the long trek across the Midwest, and I've relocated to Toledo, Ohio. I'm an Ohioan now. We'll get into the word, but I honor you today. But they are at home trying to get settled and some stability for my daughter. She needs that. She's a little out of whack. So they're at home. They're at church. Praise God. But normally they come with me. I'm sure you'll meet them eventually. But John chapter 11, if you want to grab your Bibles. Thank you to the worship team. Man, what a tremendous job this worship team did. Thank you so very much, ushering in the presence of the Lord today. John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. I feel a deep burden today to minister what the Lord has given me to minister. And I know that the Lord is going to do some great things today, and we'll get to that point eventually. But John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44, scripture reads, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead, where Lazarus was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Today I want to preach to us for just a short time on the topic, the voice that awakens the dead. The voice that awakens the dead. One more time, I wonder if we can just lift our hands. Come on, from the front of the room to the back of the room, I wonder if we can get every hand raised. We thank you, Jesus, for the presence that we already feel. Come on, I already feel faith building in the room today. Come on, let faith arise in the room today. We need you today, God. We need your word today, oh God. We need your presence today, God. Shine down upon us today, oh God. Let your presence fall. Let your presence saturate our hearts. Let it saturate our minds, Lord. Let it raise the dead today, God. Those who are dead in sin and dead in trespass, Lord, today, come forth one more time. Help us today, God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I wonder if you can imagine the scene that is unfolding in John chapter 11. It's a familiar, if you've been around church, you've probably heard something preached about this. Imagine the scene that is unfolding. We have a man who has been dead for 4 days. Man who is, by all extents of the account that we read in Scripture, is a friend of Jesus. And we see at the beginning of John chapter 11, we see that Jesus is abiding in a town called Bethany, and they come to him and they say, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick, he's dead, and we need you to come. We need you to come and do something, because we don't know what we can do. And we see Jesus do something that always puzzles me. We see him stay there. Scripture says that he abided in the place that he was for 2 more days. And then they got up and they went to see Lazarus. They went to the place where he was, and he gets to the place where Mary and Martha and Lazarus is in the tomb, and there's a stench that's coming from the tomb. There's mourning all around. Family and friends surely are mourning the death of their beloved friend, the death of their beloved brother. And we even see Jesus mourning Lazarus in John chapter 11. And Jesus comes and he walks in, and Jesus is not intimidated by what's happening around him. Yes, the death is all around. Yes, the smell of death, the stench is coming, and weeping and groanings are being uttered from the people. A hopeless situation, one could say, but a situation that Jesus, where he walks in, he boldly stands up and proclaims, "Lazarus, come forth." We see earlier in John chapter 11 where Jesus, he's having a conversation with Martha, and it's the point of scripture that we can tie back to day in and day out, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection." Come on, I wonder if anybody knows that he is the resurrection. I am the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So this morning, I came to preach real plain and simple to you. It doesn't matter what your situation looks like. It doesn't matter if there's death all around. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the bank says. It doesn't matter what your situation might look like. You serve a God that is able to meet every need. You serve the God who is the resurrection, and he is the life. That is the God that we serve. And Jesus gets up and he boldly proclaims that he is all they need. Jesus was trying to teach Mary and Martha that simple lesson. And if we're not careful, we can forget that as we go throughout our day-to-day lives. And we know that he is all that we need, but we can get bound down by what's happening around us, and we can get so concentrated on what's happening here, and we can forget to look vertically and look to God. But Jesus was just trying to tell Mary and Martha this one simple fact, that he was all they needed. And Martha does something that's interesting to me, and I read this count, and I almost sometimes I feel like in my spirit I can scold Martha, but the reality is that we're not very far off from what Martha would do. Martha looks at him, and Martha begins to look at the situation that's happening. And yes, the God who said that he is the resurrection and that he is the life, and his fame is going throughout all the land. So they know that he can do a work that only he can do. But Martha responds, not in an act of faith, but Martha responds by saying, "But God, he stinks." That means he's dead. I've never smelled a body 4 days after being dead, but man, I can only... She was saying, "Lord, it's not just 6 hours past death. He's in the tomb. The stone is rolled in front of the tomb, and he stinks. God, he's dead. So I don't really know what you think that you're going to do." But Martha had to get the revelation that her focus had to be shifted from off the circumstance. Come on, her focus had to be shifted off of what was happening around her and be shifted to the Father that was standing right in front of her. The Father that said, "Man, if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God. If you would just step out in faith, if you would just maybe walk just a little bit further, Martha, you would see the glory of God." Her focus had to be shifted, and we see that faith is oftentimes it's built upon the foundation of the Word of God and who Jesus is. We can look at our surroundings and we can see what's happening, and it's easy to shift our focus, and it's easy for our faith to be diminished. But all the Lord is saying, that if you can just believe. If you can just believe, we see in Mark chapter 9 where a man, he brings his son to Jesus, and he says, there's something going on. There's something that's happening inside of him, and he's been this way since he was just a child. And this is the passage of Scripture where we get the famous words, if you can just believe, all things are possible. And that's an easy thing for us to say, but oftentimes that phrase, if you can just believe, all things are possible, that's one of the hardest phrases to actually believe. Because we can look at what's happening, and we can look at the situation, and we can look at the circumstance, and we can be filled with with unbelief that begins to rise up. But I was reading this passage a couple months ago, and I was preparing for a sermon similar to this one, and I felt like the pages, like the words, like jumped off the page to me, where the man brings his son to Jesus, and he says, "Father," go read it. It's in your Bible, Mark chapter 9. He says, "Father, I believe." Scripture says he, through tears, it was like a convincing thing that he was saying. He was saying, "Father, I believe. But what I need you to do right now in this moment is I need you to help my unbelief." And go read it. It's in your Bible. The man's son didn't get healed before he professed that. Once he professed his unbelief, Jesus saw that faith in action. He saw him almost admitting to him, "Hey, Lord, I know that I might be flawed. I know that sometimes I get really focused on what's happening right in front of me. And God, I know that you can do it. But sometimes, Lord, there's a little bit inside of me that God, I need you to just help my unbelief." And through my failed humanity, the Lord still chooses to work. He still chooses to do what only he can do. But Lazarus, let's go back, excuse me, to John chapter 11. That was a little rabbit trail. But let's go back to John chapter 11, where we see Scripture tell us that Lazarus is bound. He's in the tomb. There's a napkin over his mouth, and he's bound in grave clothes. And Lazarus hears the voice of the Father, a man who is dead. It's interesting to me how Lazarus at that moment in time, he wasn't able to hear. He was dead. It was stinking up the place. And oftentimes that's what sin is like. Oftentimes that sin, addiction, anything can come into our lives, and it can bound us up in grave clothes. That's why oftentimes when I go to churches, I get worried about people who aren't expressive in their worship. I get worried about people who can't speak out praises unto the Lord, because that mirrors that of the dead men in Scripture. We see Lazarus's hands are bound, so he can't lift up his hands. We see his feet are bound, so he can't jump up and down. He can't run around. We see his napkin is over his face, so he can't profess words unto the King of Kings. But when life comes into the believer, something happens where the grave clothes gotta get taken off. You gotta maybe stretch out your arms just a little bit. Maybe if you gotta take a lap around the church, man, take a lap. I don't know what you gotta do, but you gotta move. We see this concept in Scripture. We see this concept in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, for where the Spirit of God is, something happens. We see it with Moses. We see that there's two things that accompanies the Spirit of God. We see that there's unity. We see that in Acts chapter 2. They're all in one mind, one accord in the Spirit of God. We know Acts chapter 2. We'll get there in a little bit. But we see that there's unity. And then we also see when the Spirit of God begins to move, that there is noise that comes from the Spirit of God moving. That's why I get concerned, and this is not a dead church, praise God, but that's why I get concerned when I go into dead churches where people aren't talking, where people aren't moving. Man, sister, when you talked about the music, I love our music, how we can just get into the presence of God. That's how you know that you're not bound up in grave clothes. That's how you know that you're living the life that Jesus has called you to live, because you're walking out in faith. You're being loose. You're not focused on the dead things that are around you. But Lazarus, this is what's interesting to me. Lazarus had a choice. He had a choice. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He could have looked at the situation. He could have looked at the grave clothes and had some thought of, well, I don't really know how, God, I'm going to come forth. I'm bound. You see, from the bottom of my feet to my head, I'm bound. We see this, and the Lord even says, loose him and set him free. So we know that he wasn't even able to loose himself out of the grave clothes, but he had a decision to make. And the Lord has sent me here today to preach a very simple and plain message to this church body today, that you have a choice to come forth. You might be living in sin. You might be bound by addiction. You might be bound by the situation. You might be bound by the surroundings. But the Lord is just saying, baby, if you just believe, if you just get your eyes off of the situation, and if you just step forward, and maybe you got to step again and step again, but if you just come forward and you be loose in the presence of God. Imagine Lazarus in that moment. Imagine that. The Lord is calling, and the Lord is calling some people today. It's the voice that awakens the dead. It's the voice that breathes life into every believer. And he had a choice to make. He could have chosen to sit there and woe is me, and Jesus, you took too long to come to my situation, and he could have thrown himself a pity party. And listen, I've been there. Sometimes I've questioned God's timing. Sometimes if I'm not too careful, I can get myself in my own pity party. So I'm not here to condemn that today. But what I am here to do today is to say that that's not what gets the victory. Come on, throwing yourself a pity party is not what gets the victory. But if we choose to believe, if we choose to listen to the voice, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what those grave clothes are. You might be stinking to high heaven. It doesn't matter. Jesus is calling. He is no respecter of person. It's already been mentioned today, but I felt this last night, that there is restoration that's in this building today. Come on, there's some people that need a little bit of restoring. It's in the building today. There's people that need a touch from the Holy Ghost. It's in the building today. And the Lord is speaking. The Lord is calling. The voice of the Lord is going forward. And he's saying, man, if you can just step out and believe. There's a couple stories that I want to tell. This a couple weeks ago, I was in a service up in Minnesota. I sound a little Minnesotan on that one. Try not to draw out my O's. I don't claim that. I do love Minnesota, though. But I was up in at a church in Minnesota, and there was a woman there who it was a similar service. I wasn't preaching. I just had the opportunity to attend, and it was a very similar atmosphere. And you can walk into services and you can feel where the atmosphere is different. It's not like every service. You can feel that there's something that is pulling. There's something in the spirit that is calling out. And I feel that in this place today. I feel that voice going forward today. And this lady, she had been going to this church for just a short while. But she had been in church predominantly her whole entire life. And And I didn't know this at the time, but her husband was being used in the service. He was a very talented musician. His children, I could hear them. His children during worship were off to the side speaking in tongues. They were getting what they needed. And I didn't know this at the time, but the altar call came. And this woman who had been in church for over 50 years, she had grown up around the things of God. She had grown up hearing the gospel message. She came up and she was praying. And I felt the Lord, he was pushing me to go pray for her. And I felt like what he was giving me was to go pray for the Holy Ghost for her. And I was like, nah, like there's no way that's right. There's no way that could be. This lady looks like she has the Holy Ghost. This lady looks like she's been around a long time. I know they teach it in their home because I was like, that doesn't make sense. And if I would have paid attention to the surroundings, I would have missed it. But we went over there and we prayed for her. And after a while, this lady started speaking in other tongues. And it was the most amazing, incredible thing. And after church, we went out to eat, and I was talking to the pastor, and he said, you know, what you don't know, and he said, what a lot of people in that church don't know is that lady that you were praying with today, she has been seeking the Holy Ghost for 43 years. 43 years. But when something in that service broke, When the word of faith went forward, I saw her. She ran from the back of the church up to the altar. She threw her hands up in the air. When faith arose in the building, there was something that happened in the supernatural. Come on. I don't know how long you've been waiting. Maybe it's only been a week. Maybe it's been 5 years. Maybe it's been 30 years. But what I know is that God is in this place today. What I know is that faith is in the building today. And if you just step out in faith, and if you just believe, it's for you. It's for you today. It's for you today. My wife, a number of years ago, my daughter is almost 5, and my wife was a couple months postpartum, and I didn't know this at the time. She didn't tell me this up until it started happening, or it officially happened, but for about 2 months, she was probably 3 months postpartum. So from about 2 months until this point, I come to find out that my wife woke up every morning, and she told me that she started feeling, started losing more and more feeling in her body every day. And so I obviously scolded her for that, because I was like, you should have told me, because that's ridiculous. But it was about, she was dealing with this problem for 2 months, and we were down in southern Minnesota preaching, and she woke up one Sunday morning, and if memory serves me correct, she got out of bed and she fell over. And my wife is, I'm still young. I'm only 30. My wife is, she'll be 30 soon. So it was something that didn't make sense. She fell over. And she eventually got up and started walking upstairs, and she asked me, she said, hey, I need you to go and pick up Winona. She's awake. And she goes, I can't pick her up because I can't feel my hands. And I went and got her, and I came back, and I was like, I'm sorry, you what? That's not normal. And come to find out, we went home, and we went to the doctor, and as we were going home, it started progressively getting worse. It was moving up from her feet. She lost all feeling in her feet. She couldn't move her feet. She couldn't move her legs. She said her hands had like pins and needles. So and as we were driving home, it was about a 3-hour drive home to go to the doctor where we were going to go. But as we were driving home, it moved from her feet all the way up to her neck, and she couldn't feel from her neck down. She couldn't walk. She couldn't hold our daughter. She couldn't do anything. And you can imagine what's going on in my mind.
I'm looking at the situation. And I'm looking at somebody who has a baby girl who needs her mom. Who needs her mom to be able to do the things that mom needs to do. So I'm focusing on the situation. And I'll be honest with you, I'm losing a little bit of hope. I'm losing a little bit of belief. And so we get to the doctor and they tell her, you know, we don't really know what's happening. They threw out all of these medical terms, all of these things that I was dumb and went and Googled, and it was a terrible situation that was happening. And we're in the hospital for about 6 days, and they're running tests, they're doing MRIs, they're doing everything. And initially when we got there, they said, you know, just give it some time. The feeling might come back, but we're going on day 3, day 4, day 5. Nothing is changing. There's nothing that's happening, and we don't know what's going on. And the situation is continuing to get dimmer and dimmer. And they do some tests, and they eventually find out that there's some inflammation in her spinal cord, essentially, that's pressing on her nerves. And they said oftentimes what will happen is this inflammation will come, and that's normally the first sign of MS. That's normally the first sign of multiple sclerosis, which is a terrible, debilitating autoimmune disease. And you can imagine at the time, my wife was 26, so you can imagine the heartbreak that we're feeling in that moment, the disdain, but the despair that we are feeling in that moment. And they said, you know, we can't diagnose you with MS. Because in order for it to be MS, this has to happen multiple times. And so they basically said, so oftentimes this will happen. And then they gave her, once they found the source of it, they gave her some different medicines. And the feeling eventually over time, about 3 months, it came back. Or the feeling in her hands and her feet and her legs, it all came back. But they basically said that, you know, with MS, there's really nothing that we can do for you. What'll happen is you'll go home and you'll wake up. It could be a month, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 2 years, and you'll wake up and it'll start happening again. And that's when we can diagnose you with MS. And today I'm here to tell you that it's been 4.5 years. Come on, it's been 4.5 years. It's been a long time. They said it should have happened again. They said she should have lost feeling again. But guess what? I believe that I'm just going to go ahead and claim the miracle that God touched her body, that God reached down in all his glory, in all his might. He reached down and touched that disease. Come on. And that same God that I serve is the same God that you serve. And my God is no respecter of persons. If he can do it for my family, he can do it for your family. If he can do it for Pastor, he can do it for you. I wonder if the musicians can come. I'm coming to a close. We see in Scripture, Romans chapter 8, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I was in prayer this week over the past number of days. And the Lord has directed the next steps of this service. And we're going to go through this. But there are people in this room today where you are seeking the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can feel it. You walked into this place and you felt an urgency. You felt a calling out from Jesus. And he's such a gracious God. He's such a good God that we serve. Kim, I believe, is that your name? Your testimony when you were talking about how you were raised to know that God was a punishing God. If we're not careful, we can believe that lie. And we can look at the situations that are happening. And we can look at the hurt and the pain and the death. And we can get so hyper-fixated. And we can get our eyes off of the one who put breath into our lungs. And we can look at the situation. Listen, I don't come from a perfect family. I grew up in a split home. My dad left a note on the counter to my mom when I was 6 months old. I had an abusive stepfather, abused every which way that you can imagine, from a young age in silence. And I felt crippled by fear that nobody knew what was happening and nobody knew what was going on. And God was almost punishing me for dad leaving and all of the things. And I grew up in a home that was filled with drugs, alcohol, violence, and abuse. But there was one day where I just decided, you know what? I don't really understand why it happened. I don't really know why it happened. All I know is that we live in a fallen and we live in a broken world. But God, I know that you put me on this planet for a reason. God, I know that you want me to live a life for you. So I found myself one day just lifting up my hands. And the presence of God came down. Maybe you're just like me today. Maybe you lean more towards Christina, or maybe you lean more towards Lazarus, where you're bound today. All I know today is that the Lord wants to do a work in the place today. So this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. There are people here that you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've already had somebody come up and tell me, two people come up and tell me that there's people here that don't have the Holy Ghost. I want you to come forward today. If you know, I want you to come up to this altar today. If you know somebody that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, go grab their hand and bring them up to this altar. Come on, do it right now. Do it right now. The Lord wants to fill some people with the Holy Ghost today. Come on, this is nothing to be ashamed of. We've all had to make a step of faith before. The Lord wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. If you need the Holy Ghost, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. I don't want anybody up here, if you know somebody that needs the Holy Ghost and they're alone, I want you to come up here and I want you to get connected with them. I want you to unify with them today. So this is what we're going to do. Listen to me. Hold on, listen to me. If you want the Holy Ghost, just stop real quick and listen. Listen. This is what's going to happen. We see in Acts chapter 2, we see the plan of salvation being unfolded, where we see repentance in Jesus' name, where that's just a turning away of the old life. It's a turning away of walking a life away from Jesus. And repentance is just turning and walking towards Jesus and towards the things of God. It's saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I know that I'm in need of your grace. I know that I'm in need of your mercies. God, I'm sorry. Then we see baptism in Jesus' name, and then we see the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is the thing. It's not about being perfect. Okay? It's not about being perfect. Nobody has been perfect except for Jesus. It's about having a heart that says, a true, genuine heart of repentance that says, Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to walk with you. Jesus, I want to talk with you. And once we repent, we're going to lift our hands and we're going to start praising We're going to start worshiping. And I believe, is there anybody else that believes with me today? I believe. So this is what I want us to do. I want everybody in the building, I want us to lift our hands. We're all going to repent. I'm not going to lead this prayer. I want this prayer, if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, you got to open up your mouth and speak words. I'm not going to lead. I want it to come from your heart. Whatever you want to say. Come on, it's the turning away of walking a life away from Jesus and walking towards the things of God. Come on, that's it. Speak words into Jesus right now. Look down upon us today, Father. Okay. If you're seeking the Holy Ghost, if you've repented, I want you to stop. This is what we're going to do next. This is what's going to happen. They're going to start playing a song and praising and worshiping Jesus. We're going to let praise arise in the. If you don't need the Holy Ghost, you are not out of this. Your job is to lift up praises. Your job is to let faith build in the building today. This is what's going to happen. As you lift your hands, as praise will start coming out of your mouth, there will be a time where you're going to have to let your tongue loose, and you will start speaking in a language that you have not learned, a language that you will not be able to understand, a language that you have never uttered before. That is the heavenly language. That is the presence. That is the Spirit of God that is coming from heaven and going into your heart. Just like in the Old Testament, we see there's a tabernacle for the presence of God. Now in the New Covenant, when Peter in Acts chapter 2 preached, now we're the tabernacles for the presence of God. Now the Spirit of God, now we can be one with the Father, and the Spirit of God will come into your life, but you have to loose your tongue. There has got to be a sound that is uttered from your mouth where the praises will turn to tongues. So I wonder all across the room, wonder if we can lift our hands. Come on, this isn't a prayer of repentance. This is a prayer of praise and faith. Come on, that's it.
I know a name.
Come on, that's it. Let faith arise in the building.
That can silence roaring.
Come on, we worship you, Jesus. Come on, let worship and praise come out of your mouth right now. I worship you, God. You are holy. You are worthy. I lift you up, Jesus. There's nobody like you. There's nobody beside you. Come on, if you're praying with somebody, come on, keep praying with them. Come on, let praise arise. Let worship arise. Come on from the front of the room to the back of the room. Let faith arise in the building right now. We worship you, Jesus.
Something comes out of the grave. Every time I
come
call
on, that's
you,
it.
Jesus,
come on, it's building in the place.
I call
come on, let
you,
faith
call
arise. We magnify you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call
come on,
your
that's
name,
it. It's about to be loosed in the place today. Come on, it's about to be loosed in the building today. Come on, lift your voice and magnify the name of Jesus. We worship you.
Chains break, drive.
Come on, by the authority, by the power, and by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost. the building. The Holy Ghost is falling in the place today.
Let things come alive at the name of Jesus. Let things come alive. Let things come alive. Let things come alive at the name of Jesus. Let things come alive. Let things come alive. Let things come alive at the name of Jesus. Because I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Because every time I call you Jesus,